Say amen. That was a poor representation. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
That's better. Here it is. A man that hath friends must. And I want you to underline this one I'm preach on today. Show himself what?
Friendly.
Must. Show himself friendly. And here's the good part of it. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, help us to preach today in a way that magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Edify and exhort the saints of God and warn the lost. And I just pray, God, that you'd strengthen us and help us today. And Lord, may these folks leave here today knowing that they've been to the house of God to worship. And Lord, strengthen their lives and homes and families, I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, aggravate the devil today with this message, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I heard about a guy the other day. I was talking to a guy this week that's having some marital trouble. I get a lot of calls from folks that I don't get too many calls from people from this church for trouble, but I get a lot of calls elsewise. And the guy, he said, Reggie, you need to come over and see us. He said, we're having trouble and having problems. And so I went over there and he was telling me how it got started. He said, well, he said, I was just discussing some stuff with my wife that concerns me. He said, I told her I wanted to die in the springtime. And I said, well, what do you want to die in the springtime for? And he said, well, he said, I don't want her next husband being able to burn any wood that I cut. And I said, well, what else is your problem? He said, well, he said, I told her I wanted to die in springtime because I didn't want him eating out any garden that I planted. And he said, it wasn't going too good. And then he said, I asked her, I said, honey, he said, if I die, are you going to let your next husband drive my pickup truck? Said she looked around a little bit, said, well, honey, you'd be in heaven and the truck's just out there. She said, I don't know why he couldn't drive it. She said, really, you're going to let him drive my pickup? She said, why? I don't see any reason not to. He said, well, he said, if I die, he said, see, some of you are already guilty of this, what I'm going to preach on today. Okay, I'm getting somewhere. Just hang with me. He said, if I die, he said, you're going to let him wear my cowboy boots. She said, well, she said, you've got several pairs. And she said, you can only put one in the casket with you. And she said, I don't see any reason that he couldn't wear your cowboy boots. And boy, he just shook his head and he said, things are getting worse and worse. And he said, Reggie, I just don't know if we're going to be able to take it or not. He said, I asked her, I said, are you going to let him use my golf clubs? Honey, I need to know, are you going to let him use my golf? She said, nope, he can't use your golf clubs. He said, well, you're going to let him drive my truck and you're going to let him wear my boots? He said, why can't he use my golf clubs? Because he's left-handed. Some of you guys need to have a talk with your wife. Amen. Listen, I want to preach on the subject, show yourself friendly. I've been standing in front of crowds for about 36 years. I started selling when I was 20, 21 years old. And I've been on this side of the crowd for all that time. 36 years, started in 1975. Started preaching in 1982, and then I really got into it. I was on this side of the pulpit. And I've noticed something that's wrong in America, wrong in our churches. Christian people, did you know, I discovered it. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. Been meditating on this several weeks, and I finally decided to pray. Now, wait a minute, let me say this to you. If you're here today and you're lost, you're going to bust hell wide open if you don't get saved. Somebody said, Reggie, why don't you preach the gospel? I do. Come back. You'll get it. Amen. Somebody said, won't you preach me? I will. Come back. Today, I want to encourage you. Today, I want to help you. Today, I want to exhort you in the Lord to let God change your life a little bit. Let you have a little bit. How many thinks that Frankie Woods is happy? Is anybody in here thinks Frankie Woods is not happy? Keep your hand down there, Mary. All right. She's the only one church knows he ain't always supposed to be, amen. No, I'm saying that, listen, there's something been bothering me. I see more happy faces at auctions than I do in churches. And we've got a plague on us, and I think God would like to fix it. And it gets in me bad, just ask my family. And I'm not that man that I ought to be. I'm not as happy as I ought to be. Not as joyful as I ought to be. And I don't show myself as friendly as I ought to be. And if you stood up here behind this pulpit and saw the looks. I mean, everything you can imagine. And you're preaching about glory in heaven and being saved. And you can't figure it out. Something ain't quite right here. And you just get to where you think, everybody out there must be lost or they'd be smiling a little bit, surely. And you got to tell a stinking joke to get people to smile. Ain't that sad? You got to tell a stinking stupid joke to get fit. Now, I said this, that I told that joke though for a reason. That guy's life was all messed up. What are you worrying? You're worried about what your wife's going to do after you're gone. Amen. Ain't nothing you can do about it. There's a lot of things we're fretting on and just scouring our heads about and letting us take us down, rob us of our joy, and keep us from being friendly that ought not be done. And I want to pray, if you don't need this message, just sit tight because I do. The Bible said in James chapter 2 and verse 23 that Abraham was called something. Does anybody know what it was? He was called the friend of God. Now the Bible said that you're supposed to show yourself friendly. I wonder, are you showing yourself friendly as a common course of life? Down there where we have our little adventure deal where, you know, folks come, we've been having some church groups in and some school groups in, you know, and we get down there and we do a little skit at the spring. And we've got a fella called Chief Snapping Turtle. He don't watch anybody. And we do a skit with the kids. And the other day, we got a little outfit for looked like an Indian. He come out of that tent, shot that shotgun, get out of our water. I mean, boy, he was hawking them kids. He wasn't showing himself friendly, and it affected their life, I guarantee you. I'm telling you this morning that we need to be friendly people, amen? Did you know what? There used to be a time in Norwood, Missouri, when everybody waved at everybody. Now I don't even know who they are. I just wave. I thought about getting me one of the little hands that goes like this. Just, you know, just does like that going down the road. You can put it on the dash of your car, you know. I want to ask you something this morning. On a scale of 1 to 10, are you friendly? What would you rate yourself as being friendly? Can I say something to you? There's nothing spiritual about being an old snapping turtle. There's nothing spiritual about you being a sour head. Soiled up. Act like you're mad at the whole world. There's nothing spiritual about that. You can't convince me you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you are, I don't want it. And plus that, most of the people that know you, if you act like that, they don't want it either. And I'm telling you, if we'd learn to be a friendlier people, we'd see more people come to Jesus Christ. You go down to camp there tomorrow, and they're getting off the kids, and Ben walks up to them, shut your mouth, line up over there. He does that. I'm telling you something, it wouldn't be 3 years till there wouldn't be nobody come to camp. Counselors, nobody. Ben would be down there talking to the spiders, amen. A man that will have friends must show himself friendly. God says you don't have an option about it. You must show yourself friendly. And I'm convinced that it's a wicked sin for saved people to not show themselves friendly. John 15:13, the Bible said this, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ, by the way, if you're here lost this morning, can I tell you something? You will never have a greater friend than Jesus Christ. He laid his life down on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He died in your place and shed his blood to save your soul from hell. He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. He's gone to heaven to prepare a place for you. You ain't never going to have a better friend than Jesus Christ. John 15:15, Jesus said, I have called you friends. Isn't that a blessed thought? That Jesus calls us his friends. Luke chapter 11 has been a message, has been a text for me preparing messages ever since I started preaching. It says that man had, turn to Luke chapter 11. I want you to see this today, and I'll take off pretty quick. I know I'm down to about 13 minutes already here with Don's money. Don's been paying me to preach, see, and I'm kind of working this thing the best I can. I mean paying me not to preach. Luke 11 chapter 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, capital F, lend me 3 loaves. Now watch the friendships that's going on here. For a friend of mine, he goes to a house where there's a friend. And he says to this friend, a friend of mine is in his journey. Is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. That's my life verse as a pastor. Every week of my life I say to God, Lord, there's some friends of mine that's going to be coming to church Sunday morning. They're on a long journey toward eternity. And I have nothing to set before them. And I begin to pray, Lord, give me bread. You know what I need? I need three meals. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And God, give me bread to feed my friends on their journey. But in order for me to get bread for my friends here, I have to go to that friend there and get the bread. And so that concept of friendship and the working of friendship in Christianity is deep and it's intricate and it's detailed in the Bible. I asked you a while ago this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself on showing Christian friendship? On a scale of 1 to 10. I say Christian biblical friendship because there's a different kind of worldly friendship. I'm not preaching about the religious friendship that folks use to try to get people to come to church. Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about how to win friends and influence people, a worldly, secular, humanistic friendship. I'm not either talking about monetary or money-motivated friendships. I'm not talking about success-motivated friendships. I'm not talking about popularity-motivated friendships. I'm talking about showing ourselves friendly for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and because He lives inside our hearts. I'm talking about a heart attitude toward God and toward other people that demonstrate the love of God in us toward people. Number one, for Jesus' sake. You know, I ought to be friendly to people for Jesus' sake. Secondly, I ought to be friendly to people to brighten other people's lives. There's an old song, "Brighten the Corner Where You Are." Back in the Depression day, one of the most famous songs America will ever have is this. There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. And then it went like this. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all your way. If you'll keep on the sunny side of life. Hey, folks singing that didn't have a car to drive to church on Sunday morning. Folks singing that didn't have running water to come out of faucet. Folks singing that carrying their water from the spring or the well. Folks didn't have a plow to plow their garden. If they raised a garden, they hold every inch of it. And they sang, see, keep on the sunny side. In World War II, when their sons were dying in foreign battlefields, they were singing, keep on the sunny side. You know what's the matter with America? We're a bunch of sick, spoiled, rotten bunch of rich people that have forgotten how good God's been to us, and we're wallowing. You know what liberalism caters to? Is this bunch that thinks that everybody owes them everything. Whining because the check quit coming in the mail. Amen. Now listen, the less you say amen, the longer I preach. Yeah. All right, I'll cut out 4 pages right there. Listen, we ought to be friendly to enrich and increase the joy of life for other people. How many would rather be met with a smile as a scowl? Hey, Sam Walton wasn't stupid, folks. Sam Walton wasn't stupid. He put somebody at the door when you walk into Walmart. How you doing today? How you doing today? They don't have somebody stand there going, what are you doing here? Do you need a basket? Do you need a shopping basket? See? Yeah. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, you've got a debt. You have a debt of love. You have a debt of friendship that you need to pay people. I don't care how rotten life's been to you. I don't care how mean life's been to you. You have a debt before Almighty God. I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you today. You get in your car when you leave home. You say, I will be a different man, a different woman, a different young person from this day forward in my life. I'm no longer going to go through life scowling, whining, complaining, griping, murdering. I'm going to put a smile on my soul. I'll tell you what made me sick. Women and daddies and mamas complaining to God about the children they gave them. God have mercy on your wretched soul. That's how bad we've gotten. Your forefathers had 12 of them in a one-room cabin. Had a big time and laughed and sent the kids off down the woods while they was kissing. Yeah, they knew how to have a good time. They didn't sit around and whine and complain about, oh, it's another one. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to change diapers, feed them, change diapers, feed them, change diapers, feed them, and then kick them out in the cornfield and change it. Hey, listen, I'm talking about let's go up. Let's get real. Let's be people. Let's be the people that made this nation great. I'm talking about you ought to be friendly to make a better world to live in for everybody. I'm telling you something. Smile makes it better for everybody. Smile a while, the old song says. You ought to be friendly to increase and improve your own life. Did you know it's a proven fact that if you'll smile, be friendly, speak to people, have an encouraging attitude, you'll live longer. Those bad chemicals won't set off in your... Oh, listen, it'll tear you down. I'm going to tell you something I've seen. I've seen and lived long enough since. You got a daddy here, a mama, they get that scowling, murmuring, complaining, unfriendly attitude in life. They sull up and they circle in and they come introvert. They don't speak to nobody. They don't smile to nobody. They're just going through life. And then their kids start being like that, and then their grandkids start being like that. And I'm telling you something, I have seen it become a generational curse because they would not be friendly to people, because they would not smile. They wouldn't open up and let God bloom their life out to be a blessing to other people. And they just put negligently scoured their generations. I'm talking about, listen, I'm not talking about being fakish and phony to impress other people either. Or to induce other people to like us, to favor us, or to do business with. I'm not talking about that. I wouldn't give you 3 cents for people who's only got a listen, I never will forget this in my life. I was over at Bethany, where Lazarus and Martha and Mary's tomb is and home is over in Israel. Going down the street, there's a little bitty old boy, little Arab boy. I'm not joking. He's about that high. And he had a little goat. I'm talking about baby goat in his hand, arms like this. Cutest little kid and the cutest little goat you ever seen in your life. We're coming down through the fairway there. He's like this. He's just popping the biggest old grin you ever seen in your life. He's looking, showing that goat up to you, and he's got his hand out. That's hard to pass up. The bad part about it was I wasn't very friendly, and I passed him up. No, I be honest with you. If you start that stuff, you're really not helping them very much. Be honest, they're just little beggars, what they are, and you're not helping them much. But I never will forget this. I just, some reason or other, I decided I wasn't going to give you nothing. I never will forget this. I got about 10 feet past him. I turned around and he was scowling at me. His whole motivation for smiling and being friendly was a dollar bill. I want to ask you a question. Do you smile at your wife so she'll be nice to you? What's your motivation for being nice to your wife? There's a murmuring going through the congregation. I mean, if you're not careful, let me tell you something. If we're not careful, we're so depraved that everything we do good to our mate is for something back. We're trading all the time. If the trade don't go our way, then we scowl up and sew up and get mad. If you're not careful as a child, the only reason you're friendly toward your mom and daddy is so you can get your way about what you want to do. And if that doesn't happen, then you're sold up, scoured up, sullen and sad and sick. I'm talking about, listen, I'm not talking about, I believe, but I will say this. I do believe and admire people that have got the character that even though the world may be treating them wrong and the world may not be treating them right, but they feel it's their Christian duty to continue to smile when they don't feel like smiling. They continue to speak to people when they really don't feel like speaking to people. They continue to greet people when they don't feel like greeting people. I can promise you this, that every day of my life, I don't feel like getting up and preaching. I don't feel like saying, hey, how you doing? Isn't it a wonderful day? The Lord's got, I don't feel like it all the time. But I'm saying this to you. Listen, we need something inside us, the Lord Jesus Christ, that rises above the problems, rises above the pain and the sorrow. I'm talking about, I believe there's great strength of character revealed when we can smile, when we can be pleasant, when we can be joyful, when we're hurting. Every week of my life when I come up to pastor this church, there's a quandary. There's some people in there who's just on the threshold of their blazing life is on up. Here's a family with a new baby. But there may be a family over here who's lost somebody. And you've got this mixed emotions going through the congregation, and only the Holy Ghost of God can meet the need of those people. But I'm saying this, can you still smile when you're hurting? I preached that old message. How many members of me preaching the old message of Kyle Ripken playing when you're hurt? I forget how many years he played and played ball with broken ankles. If we'd play and be friendly even when we're hurting. Listen, I respect people who can still be friendly when they're hurting. I respect people that can still be friendly when they're weary, when they're tired, when they're worn out, when they're heartsick. People that can be friendly when they're wounded by their brethren even. People who can be friendly even when they're discouraged. As I said, I've stood and faced crowds of people all my life. And it just seemed like that there's more smiles at auctions than there are the average church. But it's amazing the sadness and the dullness and the selfishness that we see in our churches. And I've thought about it. Now, I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm going to. Don, I appreciated what you said in Sunday school class this morning. I never knew about that. Can I get this straight again, it would be your grandpa.
Both my mom and my dad.
Both your grandpas on both sides of the family committed suicide through drunkenness. Then you had a couple others, right? Can I tell you something, guys? I love old Don. He gives me a hard time. I give him a hard time. He'll give you a hard time if you let him. But I will tell you something. I can tell you one of his favorite songs in the world. Out on the highways and byways. How many knows Don's in like that song?
Yeah.
Out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine through darkness and strife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Boy, it gets too high there for me. But you know what? That's a great song. Why don't you pray today, Lord? I don't want to be a taker all my life. I want to be a giver. Lord, make me a channel of blessing to other people by being a friendly person. Can I tell you something? There ought not be a church in the world more friendly than this church right here is. There ought not be nobody walking this church without seeing somebody that's glad to see them and loves the Lord. I'm just saying this to you, that God wants you and I to carry the sunshine of life to other people's hearts. It's been said repeatedly, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And it's true. This is the very reason, listen to me this morning, this is the very reason. Some of you young preachers listen to this real good. There are some men out here in the world who are ministers of great works that God has done. Not because they are able to articulate in speech messages. Not because they know a lot of Bible, but because they're friendly to people and they care about people. I know some preachers that they're just really not that great a preacher if you want to just get them behind the pulpit. But I tell you what they've got, Frankie, they've got a heart of love. I know an old preacher up in Des Moines, Iowa. He wouldn't ring your bell much to hear him preach, to be honest with you. I ain't never met nobody that just has more compassion and loves people. And boy, I guarantee if you walk into church, he'll just shake your hand. And Mary, how you doing? It's so good to see you, man. How's things going for you? And he means it. And he means it. And people love him because he means it. There's somebody living inside that says, you know, life's not about me. Life's about these people. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a little secret. One of the greatest, listen, I say this with a trembling heart. One of the reasons I'm glad God called me to preach is that it's continuously teaching me that life's not about me. Life's about other people. And your life gets fuller as you empty yourself into other people's lives. And what I'm trying to tell you is this, but you know something can happen to you. The links can tell you. You get careful, they'll drain you dry, won't they? They'll have you so drained, you ain't got nothing left in you. And you're all of a sudden, if you ain't careful, you've just got it on automatic pilot. And if you're not careful, you'll get your own life on automatic pilot. Be careful about doing that. They wreck sometimes. But you know something we have to do is get fed ourselves. That's why I listen to somebody says, Reggie, where do you get all the preaching messages you preach? I steal them from other preachers. Not all of them, but most of them. No, listen, you know what I do? I got to get fed. I got to have somebody pouring into me all the time. And what I'm saying is this, though, but I found out something, that the more I pour into other people, the more God pours into me. And the more you see, it's the principle of giving and receiving. It's not all about money. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus said that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. But I'm stressing today this thought. Show yourself friendly. We got too many sour apple Christians. We got too many sullen Christians. By the way, I didn't steal this message. We got too many selfish Christians. I want to ask you, are you selfish? Is it all about you? Too many sulking Christians. Too many self-centered Christians. Too many sad Christians. You might say, well, if you knew how I've been treated, Brother Reggie, you wouldn't be happy either. I have something to say to you. Shut up! Baloney! Do you want to hear me whine for the next hour and a half about how people have treated me the last 29 years? No, you don't want to hear that. You don't need that junk. Hey, everybody gets a rough deal once in a while. Everybody has rough road on the road. Hey, it rains on the just and the unjust. You say, well, it never has on me yet. Get your umbrella out, buddy. It's coming. I'm saying this to you today. Listen. You say, well, you just don't know how rough life's been to me. You just don't know. You know, your favorite hymn is Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. You'd sing that to hell and back before you'd ever say, Make me a blessing. You say, which song do you like the best? Lord, are they still with me? You say, well, I've been treated rough. Can I give you a Bible example? There's a young man by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was hated by his own brother. He was betrayed by his own brother. Thrown in the pit by his own brother. Sold as a slave by his own brother. Carried off to Egypt by them slave traders. Maligned and lied on and everything falsely accused and put in prison. Then they brought him two sacks of Prozac and everything got okay. Then they got him some Ritalin and he got all right. That day Joseph didn't even know what Ritalin and Prozac was. He didn't know what, you know, what is that stuff they call this stuff people take? Antidepressants, that's what. I'm so depressed I can't even think of what antidepressants are. Joseph didn't have antidepressants. The Bible never says he went to a psychologist. Did you know what happened one day? He's down in prison. He's been in prison for years for nothing. He hasn't seen mom and daddy. He hasn't seen his friends. He has not been in a church service. Oh, I know you've got it bad. You've got it worse than Joseph, but please listen to Joseph's plight. And one day the two guys down there had a drink. And they got all, they're just perplexed by it. And Joseph's walking in, he's caretaking. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. And he sees these guys. And they're I know they just come out of church, had to. Yeah. And Joseph said, why are you so sad today? Can you imagine a guy who's been hated, sold, shipped off, slaved, imprisoned, lied on, everything you can imagine bad happened to him. I said, what are you guys so sad about? So you've had it bad. I don't see anybody here over in Iran and locked up in a jail cell today in a foreign country. I'm talking about this morning. You may have had it bad, but God showed you. If you follow Joseph's life, you just keep your eyes on the right thing. God can keep a smile on your heart. Daniel was a captive. He was part of those young men that were taken captive out of Israel. You know what they did with him, boys? Hey, you think you've got it bad? They made a eunuch out of him. No family for Daniel! Ever! You know what this says about Daniel over and over again that the people in that land said about him? He had an excellent spirit. 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 I want to ask you, what's your spirit like today? Got an excellent spirit? You say, you just know how tough life's been on me, Reggie. I know how tough it was on Daniel, and he had an excellent spirit. Moses. Somebody says, Moses was friendly? He had to be friendly to put up with that bunch. Amen. If Moses hadn't been friendly, I mean, if I'd have been Moses, I said, Lord told Moses one day, said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to kill them all. Start over. I said, help yourself. That'd been me. I'll get a shovel and help you bury him, Lord. No, Moses, so friendly, dropped on his face and said, dear God, don't destroy those people. They're my friends. You see, he had a murmuring, complaining, griping nation, but he loved them. I think he's pretty friendly to them. And then there's David. David's the secret of how to deal with people who don't like friendly. Do you know there's people who don't like you to smile?
Yeah.
I like to smile at those people.
Yeah.
Amen. There's people who don't like a smile. You know what? It condemns them. It aggravates them. It just incenses them that anybody could be happy, that anybody could have some joy. It ruins their day. And they're out to stop you. and they're out to poke wires and stick you in the side of the ribs and knock you up the side of the back of the head to take the smile off your face. And that's what people are waiting on around you. If they know you're a Christian, they're waiting to see what can take the smile out of your soul. Yep. David, he had a friend named Jonathan. He was a man after God's own heart. Nobody ministered to people's hearts. So I think David was a friend to you and I. For he wrote such things as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I don't believe David gave up on being friendly just because life gave him a lot of hard licks. Jesus was friendly to people. Now you listen to me. There's a biblical basis to this. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. Now you listen to me. He was a friend to that man come in with tattoos all over his arm. He was a friend to that guy come in with a bone in his nose. You listening to me? I did not say that you should accept that and say it's fine. I said it won't hurt you to be friendly to him. The shockingest thing in the world would be for you as a Christian to speak to somebody who knows you're a Christian and know they're living on the other side of hell. He must have been a friend of the common man because he picked fishermen out for disciples. He showed himself friendly to me. He showed himself friendly to die for my sins. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. And to this day, he's the best friend I've ever had. He bought me. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus taught us to do this. He said, "Bless those that curse you. Love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you." And then he said something in verse 47 that's always got me. He said, "If you salute those that salute you, what more do you have than the sinners?" You know what he's saying? Wave at people. Now we're going to practice something. This is a difficult exercise. Take your hand, raise it up. Do like this. There you go. Oh, boy, I tell you what, that looks better already. Amen. You know what? You think that, but that's in the Bible. Jesus said when you meet people, and if it's somebody that don't like you, wave at them. It's somebody that's had a rough day, wave at them. Now, you listen to me. I think one of the reasons God got on me about this message was I've had a situation close to us that's pretty rough. Okay, some people that we know have been in a very, very rough situation. And since this situation happened, I mean, it's a legal, bad legal mess. We're talking about prison mess stuff, okay? I hadn't seen this one party since it occurred. I was going down the road the other day, and I don't even know why I turned my head. I guess God the Holy Ghost must just... But I looked over, and just over the crest of the hill, all I could see was the shoulders and head of that person. And I'm honest with you, I did not plan this, nothing. There's something in me, I just shot my hand up like that and waved. Now this person's in big trouble. This person doesn't want to see anybody, I don't think. But you know, God told me, just instantly wave. And I waved at that people. You know what I really think in my heart? I don't figure they thought anybody would want to wave at them. People around you need your wave. They need you to say, "Hello, it's good to see you. How you doing?" Don't let yourself get interned and lose your whole life just living for yourself and getting mired down in all the hurts and wounds of life. Jesus said, wave to people. Don't let people, don't let life, don't let the devil take you down to that pit of unfriendliness. Count your blessings. Be a blessing. And believe God for wonderful things. Believe God against all odds. Let me tell you something. I still believe life is good. Amen. You know why life's good? Because I have Jesus Christ. Amen. And all the heartaches and problems and sorrows. And Donnie, how many tractors did you have tore up this week? You had 4 tore up. At one time. Bless your little heart. Sympathy just pours out of my soul for you. You can tell it, can't you? I bet Jan even felt sorry for you, didn't you? Jan. Whoa! Strike that from the tape. Now listen to me. You got a choice. Every day you get up, you got a choice. Dean, you told me that one time. Dean, you ain't had a hard life, have you? Not compared to a lot of people. Dean loves me enough to put up with me. His mama committed suicide to his little boy. He was left dumped out at the mailbox of his grandma and grandpa. Wasn't that right, Dean? I'm talking about dumped out. Do you know what? He's been friendly to me. Ain't you, Dean? You don't know the reasons other people sitting around you may have to not be friendly. But I've never met him when he wouldn't wave at me and speak to me. I've never walked into church when he's sitting over there doing this. He got a lady sitting right in front of him right here. But I ain't never seen her when she didn't smile at me. Make me feel like a $100 bill, Dolores, just to see you smile. I'm talking about there's a ministry in being friendly. No matter how bad you've been hurt, no matter how rough you think life's been. Fact of it, can I tell you something? That's when you really do have ministry. It's when you can be friendly and smile and stay above it all and rise above it. That when people know that you maybe have every human excuse to be down and out and discouraged, but you can still smile. I'm not saying don't ever cry, for we're to weep with those that weep. I'm not ever saying that you can't. You know, I've thought about some things that there's just times when I don't want anybody around me. I want to be away from everybody. I just want God, and that's all. Brother Adams, one of the reasons I think you're so successful in visiting, because he's friendly. Amen? I don't believe he's ever met anybody he wouldn't talk to. Somebody told me he's talking to a mule the other day. Trying to win a mule to Jesus the other day. Told that mule he's going to die and go to hell. Hey, people need friendliness, amen. They need to know somebody is happy in their soul. Hey, people are killing themselves, taking drugs, going zoo in this country because they don't have the love and the joy and the friendliness of God. And if you've got it, listen, you have a choice today. You got a choice to smile, speak, wave, encourage somebody, communicate. Communicate. There is no way to put too much emphasis on the fact that we need to communicate. Show light in your eye. Sister, Terry, what's your wife's name? Sister Diane, I don't know what her name is, but I know she got the glory of God in her eye. Amen. The eye is the light of the body. It's the window of the soul. And I'll tell you something. You know what? I've decided this. I'm serious with you. I'm serious about this message. I've decided. You know what's wrong with Reggie when there ain't no light in his eye? S-I-N. Sin! You listen to me today. If there is no light, no joy, no friendliness in your soul and you claim to be saved, you better check yourself out for sin. That's the problem. Because sin will take it out of you. It'll vacuum every life out of your soul. It'll vacuum the joy, the friendliness, the wave, the high, the smile. It'll vacuum it out of your heart. Your facial countenance, gratefulness. You've got a choice to have a good countenance. You get a choice to smile, encourage, wait, be grateful, or you can frown, be down. You got a choice. You can ignore people, act like you didn't see them, act like they, you know, I don't want to live. I don't want to live anywhere where I can't wave at my neighbors. I don't want to live in that kind of society. I don't want to live in a stupid apartment complex that I don't even know who lives the next door down. God's people ought to be friendly people to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I don't want to be, you got a choice to be sour, you don't care, unfriendly, glum. What's your attitude? Would you say your attitude is friendly, pleasant, bright, encouraging, cheerful? The Bible said that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Not snapping turtles for the devil. Well, to take the initiative. Decide today that by God's grace, you're going to change your life. I refuse to believe that Christianity is an unfriendly faith. I refuse to believe that. I believe just the opposite, that Christianity is the most friendly, most encouraging, most blessed thing that a person can have. It makes the greatest place to live in the world. Could I encourage you today, from the Bible, from the Word of God, to show yourself friendly, whether you feel like it or not. And don't let the sour, sullen crowd take you down to the pit. David, this is good. Hang on this, boys. Girls, you're going to need this. Men, ladies. David was sent by his father down to the battle to take cheese and food down to his brother. He gets down there. David's cheerful. Man, he got to take a trip down to see his brothers and down the battlefield. Young boy like that, that's an exciting trip. He gets down there, you know, and he hears this deal about Goliath. And he says, what's going on there? And they said, oh, he's defying the armies of the Philistines. And David says, well, what to be? Well, he said, what will the guy to kill him get? I like that attitude, amen. What will the guy that puts you down, knocks you down, what will he get? Why, he'll go, you know what they told him? He gets the king's daughter. Woo! And David's going to go get him. And you know what happened? He was all cheerful, all friendly. He's speaking to everybody, talking about it. His brother goes, get back the sheep, you're naughty. You come down here blowing them up to wind like that. You know what that bunch is. You're going to run into them people every day of your life. Every day of your life. They're going to say, Hanny, you can't do that. That won't work. They're going to say, Bob, that won't work. You're going to have a dream, death of a dream, resurrection of a dream, and the devil's going to tell you, no, it ain't going to work. It's going to be that crowd. You know what the Bible said David did? Learn something. Learn something. The Bible said David turned from his own brother and walked away from him and went on somebody else and said, I'll kill him anyway, whether you guys think I can or not. You see, you've got to make up. Here's why a lot of people are not friendly. They've been defeated by people who put them down. You got to walk on by those people. You got to shove that stuff aside and go on and do what God told you to do. Amen. Keep smiling, amen. Well, Don, I've used up all your time you bought. Come up here, sister. We want to hear. Can you play? You can also play, can't you? That on the highway, make me a blessing. Come on up here if you don't care. We're glad to see you this morning, and appreciate you being here. Glad that. Finally got your husband back in church, amen. That's where you've been living the last few years in church, isn't it? But we're glad you're here this morning. Listen, how many say this morning, Reggie? God be my help, I'm going to try to be more friendly. Amen. Would you raise your hand to God this morning and say, Lord, help me be more friendly? I'll tell you where I learned friendliness from. My daddy, he ran for office for 172 years. I don't know how many, but a long time. But I went campaigning with my daddy. You listen to me. You say what you want to. But you ain't going to get people to vote for you going, what's bad ain't. Going to get worse. There's no hope. And I just want to finish this thing out for the worst. Would you vote for me? Who are you anyway? Vote for me. And never, you know what? Always want to know their name. You know what my dad told me one time? I have trouble remembering people's names, Frankie. You know what my dad told me? People tell me their name. 3 seconds. How many's got this problem? 3 seconds later, I can't remember their name. I said something about that to daddy because he sees somebody he ain't seen 25 years. He say, how you doing, Henry? Yeah. I said, daddy, how can you remember their name? You ain't seen them in 40 years. And this is what he told me one day. Listen to it. Whew. This is biblical. He said, you know what your problem is? He said, you're too interested in what they think of you. You're not focused on them. He said, when the day you get interested in them and who they are and how you can be a blessing to them, you'll start remembering their name. He said, all you're thinking about is Reggie.